The biosecurity agenda justified their evil. By Bill Rice at brownstone.org. Dr. Meryl Nass created a slide where she lists 7 explanations for why the lab origin had to be covered up. This slide was included in a recent 2-part article by a Midwestern doctor, who is lending support to Dr. Nass's heroic efforts to scuttle the nefarious WHO treaty. The text of Dr. Nass's slide reads, "Why did Fauci cover up the COVID lab origin? Because of critical hidden agendas. It shielded him from blame for paying for Wuhan research. It got his agency lots more money to fight pandemics. It was critical to support the biosecurity agenda. The natural origin story could be spun to support the climate change narrative. It served to justify the One Health agenda. It was used to blame overpopulation and human activity for pandemics. It justified censorship. Conspiracy theories interfered with collaboration with China on the pandemic." Elsewhere, Dr. Nass pointed out that a lab leak or deliberate spread are both in play. At least to me, all of Dr. Nass's explanations ring true. Opining for myself, I'd rank her 3rd bullet point, "It was critical to support the biosecurity agenda," as number 1 on my list. Ever the contrarian, I've always suspected the question of where the virus originated might not have been as important to pandemic producers as concealing evidence of when this virus really began to spread throughout the world. Aside, if any serious COVID researcher reads only one story I've written, I hope it's the article linked in the above paragraph. In the off chance anyone might be interested, I created my own logic/history flowchart, which summarizes key points of my personal hypothesis. I'm off and running. As Dr. Nass theorizes, one of the primary goals of the producers of our full pandemic was to promote biosecurity. In a more concrete sense, this meant promoting research into new mRNA vaccines, which would be marketed as providing said security. To promote this agenda, pandemic producers had to sell the narrative that the world is full of God's creations, like bats, that carry contagious viruses that would be deadly if they jumped species and got into the upper respiratory systems of Homo sapiens. Due, of course, to man-made climate change, it's far more likely some human beings will come in contact with a critter, this might not be a scientific term, whose natural habitat has been flooded or cut down by clear-cutters. In a terrifying world ravaged by climate change, the only way to prevent mass death of human beings is for scientists, funded by the NIAID, to develop amazing new mRNA vaccines. Thanks to COVID, we now know these vaccines can be developed at warp speed. We also know safety trials of over 10 weeks aren't even needed. Big science and the just-as-big military-industrial complex joined forces to create these life-saving vaccines. Later, politicians did their part by mandating said vaccines for hundreds of millions of people. If the vaccines couldn't be mandated to everyone, a marketing campaign could certainly be rolled out that would shame, or fire, the science deniers who didn't do their part to fight this virus. Even before official COVID, participants in the pandemic planning retreat stressed how important it would be to block contrarians, anti-vaxxers and science deniers, from challenging their solutions. So they created the censorship industrial complex, which, I guess, did create high-paying new jobs. A few skeptics still think following the money is a worthwhile endeavor. As events unfolded and for what it's worth, a pretty good amount of money was spread around to deliver this new biosecurity. But to prove these vaccines were needed, pandemic producers had to prove some of these novel bat viruses are quite deadly. More deadly than they used to be back in the days before climate change chased all our bats out of their bat caves. As I've written 22 or 23 times now, conclusive or definitive evidence of early spread would actually prove this virus wasn't deadly, as no noticeable spike of Alka's deaths had happened anywhere in the world before late February 2020. I think I'm one of the few Substack authors or journalists in the world who's making this point, which is odd since I didn't even like science classes in high school. Social studies and history were my favorite classes, and, in these classes, I did learn to follow the money or connect some dots. The question I keep asking is, what would have shut down the entire COVID production? What would have stopped the money spigot? My answer is definitive evidence of early spread, which equals no deadly virus, which equals, hey, no need for those mRNA vaccines after all. Pandemic producers thus had to prove that what we really had with this respiratory virus was late spread. In other words, our heroic public health officials had caught the outbreak in time, at the Wuhan live market, and thus could now take aggressive mitigation measures to save lives. Paraphrasing differently, what our experts said was, this virus is very deadly, folks. It just hasn't had enough time to infect enough people and prove how deadly it is, yet. Has anyone else noticed this? The only evidence the world had that this virus was deadly in Wuhan was that famous video of the man on the street falling down dead from sudden COVID. What's interesting about that footage is that in the 4 years since, and with all the billions of people who have smartphones with video or camera capability, we've never seen another COVID victim anywhere who just fell down dead in the street of sudden COVID. Contrast this to the endless loops of contraband footage we've seen of vaccinated people falling out dead. Quick summary of logic flowchart so far. The first step, solution, was to impose global lockdowns. However, public health officials also mandated the wearing of face coverings and authorized well-connected entrepreneurs to create stickers that could be placed on the floor of, say, the grocery store dairy aisle. These stickers kept people at least 6 feet from their fellow shoppers. Absent these stickers, citizens probably would have been afraid to go to the grocery store and would have starved to death, which would not be good for public health. Other entrepreneurs provided hand sanitizer by the tanker loads. Mask sales topped out at 40 or 50 billion units. Even with our life-saving stickers, hand sanitizers, and face coverings, every public health expert knew that the only real solution would come from the mRNA vaccines. This was our biosecurity. Alas, it's very possible that nobody would want the mRNA vaccines if they knew they weren't going to die from this virus. For example, if they knew this virus was no more deadly than the regular flu or any number of ILI bugs. If people started investigating origin possibilities besides the outbreak at the live market, they might see/conclude that this virus had been infecting people for many months. This could/would lead to the conclusion that this was not a deadly virus and no rushed and mandated mRNA vaccines were even necessary. This revelation, in fact, might scuttle the whole planned pandemic. However, if the concocted live market narrative stuck and became the accepted origination source and the official birthday of COVID-19, the deadly virus narrative could still be rolled out. The all-important late-spread narrative was supported by the delayed rollout of the PCR tests. Once tens of millions of people started getting these tests, behold, we suddenly had tens of millions of cases. Fortunately for pandemic organizers, PCR tests were not being administered to anyone in, say, December 2019. Of course, you can't have a deadly virus unless you have an eye-opening number of actual virus deaths, and the morgues full of deaths finally arrived in northern Italy and later New York City as well as a few other key big cities. We're not supposed to say this, but let's say it anyway. Alas, according to the banned science deniers, the deaths almost certainly came not from the novel virus but from the iatrogenic protocols and the panic. The government actually created the non-deadly virus, and then the test to confirm the presence of the virus, and thus the massive spike in COVID deaths, and then the circumstances that actually caused the required number of deaths. For some reason, almost everywhere in the world, the explosion of deaths all happened at almost the same time and always after the lockdowns had been ordered and the new COVID protocols had been fully implemented. Also, in the spring, which is not the normal respiratory virus season. But I maintain none of the above would have been possible if some pesky virus sleuths, who didn't take their orders from Dr. Fauci, proved that the virus has been circulating around the world for months, before that Wuhan live market. Again, I think the great misdirection was not necessarily the project to make everyone think this virus originated from some animals at a Wuhan live market. The important ruse was making everyone think this virus didn't begin to spread until mid or late December 2019. The experts may, or may not, be right that case zero occurred in Wuhan, China. But they are definitely wrong about when that first case happened. I leave it to readers to come up with their own answers as to why it might have been so important for our trusted public health officials to create a bogus timeline on the birth of virus spread. Republished from the author's Substack.